Dear Lord, may our tits be varied. May our heights be aligned with our spirit. May our feet not be too big that we look like a clown. For some reason, I just felt the urge to talk about this. Probably because my Aunt Jenny lost her arm. I just wanted to talk about what it's like to lose an arm. And it varies. It depends on whether it was your left arm or your right arm, and whether you're left-handed or right-handed. It's a difficult phase to go through. The thought of losing an arm and then losing it, and then how to get by in life without an arm. Some people are just extraordinary because they see the glasses half full. They got one arm. Not like Auntie Jenny that lost both. That's a different story. She's going to have to learn to use a feet or a mouth, and she's probably going to become one of those painters that do these marvelous paintings with their feet or with their mouth, and you'll think, how the fuck did they do that with just their feet or their mouth? And you'll just be blown away by it. And then you'll wonder, did she really do that with her hands or her feet, or is she paying someone and it's all a big scam to make her boost her self-esteem now she's got no arms? If you've still got your right arm and you're right-handed, then you've got a fair amount of use to an extent. But then how do you open jars? You need some sort of clamp. You need a clamp in the kitchen to clamp the jar into something so you can twist the lid off it, because you don't have that left arm to hold that jar to open it. And that's where the problems come in. But it's all about attitude, and it's all about mindset and what you do with it. Because some people are just miserable fucks. They'll just lose an arm, and then not only are they less useful because they've only got one arm, but they're also difficult to be around because they're so goddamn miserable and feeling sorry for themselves. They're not only useless, but they're no fun. But then there's these other people who are just amazing. They, like, you wouldn't believe, they just make the best out of it. They can still write, they've still got one arm, not like Jenny, but... the world's getting weird, like, real weird. Like, the other day I was down the street, and I needed to shit, and I thought, well, normally I think, like, find a toilet or whatever, and I was like, this is fucking 2022, so I just shit myself. I had this big log in my pants, and I went, I'm just gonna shop, and, like, it's just the times. It's like, why not have a shit in your pants down the street? With all the stuff going on, it's not like it's, whoa, big news. So you smell like shit while you're walking around down the street. What about all these perfumes the girls are wearing? All these flavours, Ariana Grande and Kim Basinger, Katy Perry. All I'm doing is joining in, pretty much. I'm not doing anything abnormal by shitting my pants and doing a bit of shopping, doing a bit of clothes shopping, trying on a few clothes. There's nothing abnormal about that. In this climate, in modern 2022 climate, you can go down the street and shit yourself and just go, carry on. Why not? You know? Like, there's so much shit going on. I went down the street the other day and there was a girl with blue hair. And I just thought, yep, I'm gonna shit myself again. If they're allowed to do that, why can't I just fucking addle my jocks while I'm having a shop? It's the same thing. It's on par. It's all the same level. I saw a dude who had tattoos of socks on his legs. Instead of wearing socks, he had tattoos of socks. And I thought to myself when I saw that, I thought, yep, Next time I need a shit, I'm going to do exactly the same thing. I'm going to bog my pants and fucking have a shop. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that until people decide that it's weird and things are gotten out of hand. I'm just going to join in. I'm going to be part of the riffraff. I'm going to go for it. I spat on a lady. I spat in her face because she was wearing a mask. Fucking bitch. Dearest Aunt Jenny, very sad to hear your arms were removed. I think diabetes is a terrible condition that is really hard to deal with, and I apologize for all the times that I made fun of your diabetes. And I'd just like to say that I eat junk food sometimes too, so it's not all your fault. And if you need anything, my arms work and I'm happy to help, but you know, I am busy and I do have stuff going on, so just I'll need a heads up. But yeah, I'm really sorry about the arm thing, and I'm never going to make fun of your diabetes again, because like, it's one thing that you went blind and now you've lost your arms as well. It's very sad. I'm sorry to hear that. Dearest Aunt Jenny, very sad to hear your arms were removed. I think diabetes is a terrible condition that is really hard to deal with, and I apologize for all the times that I made fun of your diabetes. And I'd just like to say that I eat junk food sometimes too, so it's not all your fault. And if you need anything, my arms work and I'm happy to help, but you know, I am busy and I do have stuff going on, so just I'll need a heads up. But yeah, I'm really sorry about the arm thing, and I'm never going to make fun of your diabetes again, because like, it's one thing that you went blind and now you've lost your arms as well. It's very sad. I'm sorry to hear that. I feel sorry for the Karens of the world. People carry on about Muslims and black people, but what about the Karens who get unfairly targeted? They can't even go to a shop and ask for the manager anymore. So my sister has done this wonderful thing. She started this charity, and it's for kids with shifty eyes. So because when she grew up, she was my mother to me, because my mother was an addict, and so my sister looked after me. But the thing was, I sort of wasn't treated too well in the schooling system, and beyond that in the work system, because I had shifty eyes. I just looked shifty, so people thought I was up to mischief all the time, and like thinking I was causing trouble. Like, I was a good kid, but my sister, because she noticed this and she actually acted upon it and tried to make my life better, she started this charity where she takes kids with shifty eyes and she knits these jumpers that lets people know, don't judge me by my eyes. And they're discriminated against because they look shifty. But kids like I was, like I've had reconstructive surgery, so I look less shifty these days. But that's expensive and kids can't afford that. And my sister's helping these kids to overcome the discrimination that's involved when a young kid, especially a male, females, it affects them more in puberty, but the males generally, the whole period from kindergarten up, they're discriminated against, and they're not treated like the rest of the kids because they're shifty look. And that shiftiness comes from the way their eyes look And it's, there is surgery you can do which makes you look like more normal and just you can get by and just look like a normal person. The problem is these kids start out and they're good kids, but then they get treated shifty, so they start acting a bit shifty. And before they know it, their eyes match their actions. These shifty looking kids, these shifty eyes, shifty eyed kids are acting shifty because people aren't, it's a Pygmalion effect. And I don't know if you know the story of Pygmalion. I can't remember it, but it's something to do with this anyway. And shifty kids, well, they're not shifty. Shifty-looking kids deserve a fair go. If you can donate to my sister's charity, she's helped 4 kids already. She's knitted jumpers. But you go to www.helpingshiftykids.com and you'll see a website. I built it for her. And there's a PayPal button and you can give her money. And like that money, like that buys walls, it buys, like she'll need, she needs to eat. So it just helps her to do her job, which is helping shifty kids. Thank you. I'm going to be talking about how to punch someone in such a way that they shit themselves. Now, this is a technique that I developed, and it's about 50-60% success rate, and it's something that is a good destabilizer of the attacker, because what you want to do is get the attacker to stop being the attacker and actually pull back so you are safe. And this is a great way of doing it, because a lot of tough men feel very vulnerable when they've shit themselves. They feel demasculated if their pants are addled and they're full of, like they've shit their dacks. So it's a good technique. It works well, about a 60% success rate, and it's all about pressure points and where to hit them in such a way. There's actually 3 punches involved, and they're not hard ones to pull off. You do need a bit of speed. So it's not for everyone, this technique. Generally, you're better off running. But if you're cornered, say at a KFC or something, these set of punches will help you immobilize the attacker and you can get to safety while still probably grabbing your 2-piece feed or whatever that you ordered at KFC. So the first punch is down and across. So down, across. And then you come up with the elbow, push back, push forward, and then punch straight through, collar, twist down, and then you got your final blow, which is just spin it, you grab their shoulder, spin, and then punch them directly in the asshole. How do you talk to old people? How do you go about it? What are the barriers? Well, generally, old people, they're scared. They're generally lonely. So they're willing to chat, but they're also scared. And they don't like ideas that are new. And they're not watching the latest TV shows. They're watching old reruns of stuff. So they don't know what's going on in the world. And they're scared. And they're lonely. And you got to remember that. And also they can't hear very well. So you got to speak very loudly. And generally you stand over them so they can hear you. You stand over them and speak down to them. You speak down and you with loud voice and you say stuff like, "G'day, what's your life like?" And they'll respond generally by saying what sort of illnesses they have. And you can play along with that and say, that's no good, buddy, that's no good. Or you can try and have a bit of fun with them. And I tell you, they love talking about the past. This is a way you can take your mind off their illnesses and their pain and their suffering that they have in their old age. And you can get them talking about their past. And the thing is to ask interesting questions. Stuff like, "Oh, were you married, mate?" And they'll say, "Oh, yes, Doris died 10 years back. She was a lovely..." Say, "Oh, was she a good root?" And depending on what sort of a person this guy is, he's either going to respond to really being excited about this. "Oh, this guy wants to know about how my wife performed in the bedroom and be really excited, or he's going to be one of these blokes that's a real downer and see it as inappropriate, which you sort of want to find out quick, because you don't want to be around those guys who can't have a bit of fun, you know what I mean? And with the ladies, you've got to be a bit more sensitive with them. So the old ducks, you want to be a bit more sensitive, but you don't want to be stuck there with someone who's, you know, is not going to give you anything in return. You'll be trying to have fun with them and they'll be cranky and angry and not happy with what you're talking about, because it's not appropriate to them, because they've grew up in a world where they've never had anal sex or anything like that. They're a bit sheltered, but they're old. They've lived their lives, but they haven't lived their lives, and they've never experienced anal sex. They don't know if it's any good, but them, that's like scary, I suppose. I don't know, or it's wrong. Definitely, they're too old. You don't want to try and put the moves on or anything. You're not there to create relationships. You show them a good time and give them a chance to talk, because they don't get to talk much, because nobody really wants to talk to them because of the way they are. But then also, you want to have a good time, so you got to find a good balance. The whole idea of hidden knowledge is quite powerful. I was at a pub once and this old dude convinced me that he had hidden knowledge, and all I had to do was buy him a beer. And then I'd buy him a beer and then he'd talk more about this hidden knowledge, but wouldn't actually tell me what the knowledge was. He'd just spruik it. And then he'd say, "You better buy me another beer." And anyway, by the end of the night, he was drunk and I wasn't any more the wiser. I thought, all right, he knows about floating pyramids. Tell me about the floating pyramids. He was just a drunk who used me to get drunk, and he was playing me for a fool. Anyway, then he clicked his fingers and he vanished. I read this amazing, like, factual document the other day that talked about the strange reason why you can't lick your elbow. And it talked about these magical people who came to Earth and punished humans because they were like at the time, your erogenous zone, because we hadn't evolved, your erogenous zone was on your elbow, and we'd sit around licking our elbows all the time, and they found it quite disgusting. And so that's why we wear clothes now, and why we can't lick our elbows, because they had magical powers and they pretty much cursed us. They said, you know, you can't lick your elbows, and that's why we couldn't lick our elbows. So we couldn't like get ourselves off by licking our elbows. So that's why we develop pair partners, so we can lick each other's elbows. But then, because evolution, then our erogenous zones changed to between our legs. And I thought, that's an amazing bit of science. I didn't understand that was the case, and it explains things so well. And I'm just, you can learn so much on the internet about the truth of life. You just gotta look in the right places, and don't be fooled by the mainstream, like what the government tells you, because the truth is, like, there's, like, I know about fairies, you know, like, and I'm not talking about gay people, which is derogatory. I'm talking about actual, like, people with wings that are smaller than us, but they can fly. And, like, my friends have seen them, but I haven't seen them, but I believe them totally, because why wouldn't there be? Like, you have giraffes, you have elephants, you have dragonflies. Of course there's going to be fairies. It's like, what are you telling me, dragons aren't real? Dragons might be extinct, but it's in the fossil record. It's just that their wings didn't fossilize. I was sitting in a park. I was in Hyde Park in Sydney, and I was like feeding the pigeons and all that, and I was picking my nose, and I got a big booger, and I flicked it on a pigeon, and this lady came up to me and said, "You don't flick boogers on pigeons." And she was really adamant that I'd done the wrong thing. I'm like feeding these pigeons, like giving them sustenance. And this lady says to me, she says straight up, "Don't you ever fucking..." Oh, she got so cranky. She said, "Don't you..." And she was so cranky. "Don't you ever flick boogers." And she was mad. And she said, "Don't you ever flick boogers on the pigeons." And I said, "Sorry, I don't think the pigeons mind." She said, "They mind! They mind a lot! Don't disrespect the pigeons!" She was a cranky lady. Anyway, I don't flick boogers on pigeons anymore. That's something that I don't do because part of me thinks that maybe she's telling the truth and the pigeons don't like me flicking boogers on them. But also just because I'm worried a scary lady is going to come up and yell out, "Don't..." Oh, yeah. Don't! Like, "Don't flick the boogers on the..." Don't flick the boogers on the pigeons! She was cranky. I remember a time when you could step outside and you'd play in this... you'd go outside and you'd talk to a neighbour and there'd be kids playing in the street. And you'd go for a walk and there was people hitting sticks against fences and just, you know, playing kickball with a bottle till it broke. And there'd just be a vibrance outdoor. Now we're all on tablets. We're all on fucking tablets. We're all on tablets. We're all tapping away on tablets. And we're all on tablets. It's ridiculous. Like, how much entertainment can you get out of one tablet? Go outside and kick rocks around, and you might actually meet other people. Like, kids aren't meeting people anymore because they're not going outside. They're not kicking around rocks. They're not finding bugs. Not that there's many fucking bugs left. Where are the bugs gone? I remember going outside and being like, "Fuck, I've got to get back inside. There's bugs fucking everywhere." And now there's no bugs. Where are the bugs gone? You get like 3 or 4 around a light. I remember I had my caravan and I took it out for a drive and I sat it somewhere and I turned the light on and it was full of fucking bugs. That's unbelievable. Yet, now, no fucking bugs. 2 or 3 if you're lucky. And they're not of different varieties. They're just all the same old fucking bug. What's happened there? So I'm at a bit of a crossroads at the moment. I've had a bit of an epiphany about being sensible and about living my life in such a way that doesn't always cause misery for me and others, and how just to live a life where I'm not doing as much stupid shit for shits and giggles so I can be happy and my family can be happy, because my son Ryan, he's a bit of a fucking jerk and I really have had enough of him, but I wonder how much of that is the way I treat him and how much fun I get out of just stirring that little fucker up, getting him worked up, because it's really funny, but then I've got this relationship that's not really good, and I don't know whether it's just because he's the little fuck up or whether it's because, like, the way I treat the poor kids. And then there's my other kids, which aren't much better, but he's the main target at the moment. Like, I've flipped over the years, but at the moment, like, he's the one I get the most juice out of, like, the one that I have the most negative thoughts around and just really take it out on him. And that gives the other kids a bit of a break and, like, lets them grow in their own way. And they've got a good mum. She, like, loves them, which is difficult. I don't know how she does it, because these kids are little fucking twats. Yeah, if you can find a woman like that, good on you. But I think she gives them too much leeway. They should be, to an extent, they should be, like, what we want them to be, and nothing to do with, like, what they want to become or anything like that. Because, like, we brought them into the world. They owe us. They owe us. And I get sick of that attitude that they want to have this sort of freedom to be who they want to be. And it sickens me, because who do they think pays the bills? Like, well, I don't, because I don't have a job. Hey guys, Brian sent in a question. Can a fart kill someone? Yes, it can. Like, of course it can. Like, it's a matter of how powerful it is. Like, and how small the room is. Like, if you're trapped in a room and you've got, like, if your farts are, like, 90% nitrous oxide or something, of course you can kill someone. It's very dangerous. So you just gotta, and that's eating stuff like cabbage and beans and, like, If you're gonna eat that stuff, you've got to be out in open spaces, because if you can find people, you can kill someone. It's very powerful. That's why, like, people in the army trap their farts in jars, and when they go to strangle someone, they put the mask on with the fart, and they kill the person. Hey guys, Brian sent in a question. Can a fart kill someone? Yes, it can. Like, of course it can. Like, it's a matter of how powerful it is. Like, and how small the room is. Like, if you're trapped in a room and you've got, like, if your farts are, like, 90% nitrous oxide or something, of course you can kill someone. It's very dangerous. So you just gotta. And that's eating stuff like cabbage and beans, and, like, if you're gonna eat that stuff, you've got to be out in open spaces, because if you can find people, you can kill someone. It's very powerful. That's why, like, people in the army trap their farts in jars, and when they go to strangle someone, they put the mask on with the fart, and they kill the person. I got a question from a viewer, Ryan. Ryan asks the question, why does my butt smell like poo all the time? Ryan, there's a few things going on there. One thing, there could be issues, but we start with the basics, which is, are you wiping your ass properly? Like, are you getting in there and getting all the bog out of your crack once you have a shit? Because if you're just giving it a quick wipe around the edges, that poo. I'm sorry, Ryan. I didn't mean to laugh. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry, Ryan. Don't take it personally. It's just that for some people, it's a funny subject. That poo around your asshole is it's the cause of the smell. So what you have to do is get rid of it all. But then if you are wiping properly and you're getting all little bits, even like you got to really get in your crack, because it can be like a felt tip pen down there, like you wipe and you think you've got it all, and there's a big brown streak on the toilet paper, and then you go down again and you've got another brown streak and another one. You've got to sort of gouge it out and get the nib of the shit around your asshole. Now, that's level one. Now, I'm hoping your problem is there. The problem can go further. So, if you do wipe properly and you get all the crap out of your butthole, it might be that your butthole is actually a bit leaky. You've got a leaky butthole. So that's where liquidy substance comes out your butthole, and it's like it's got bits of shit in it, and it stinks. And like if you lie down on the couch, it'll run down the back of your bum and go towards your back, and that exposes the smell to people. And so if this is your problem, it means you've got a leaky butthole. And what you want to do is you want to thicken up the mix. So you want to make sure that there's no liquid coming out of your anus, your butthole. And you want to do that by a spoonful of flour in the morning. So you spoonful of flour, and then that'll thicken it up, and it'll make little biscuits. Like little, they're not edible, they're not like edible biscuits, but it'll make little biscuits where it'll sop up all that juice. And it'll turn it into a biscuit. And you can poop out that biscuit, and then you can wipe it clean. Also, eat lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, so you can snap them off clean. That makes it easier to clean your butthole. But yeah, if you've got that leaky problem, definitely you need go plain flour, a tablespoon of plain flour in the morning. If you go self-raising flour, the problem is your poos might be a bit large and you might do yourself injury, so definitely go to plain flour. Okay, thank you, Ryan. I got a question from a viewer, Ryan. Ryan asks a question: why does my butt smell like poo all the time? Ryan, there's a few things going on there. One thing, there could be issues, but we start with the basics, which is, are you wiping your ass properly? Like, are you getting in there and getting all the bog out of your crack once you have a shit? Because if you're just giving it a quick wipe around the edges, that poo. So, I'm sorry, Ryan. I didn't mean to laugh. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry, Ryan. Don't take it personally. It's just that for some people, it's a funny subject. That poo around your asshole is it's the cause of the smell. So what you have to do is get rid of it all. But then if you are wiping properly and you're getting all little bits, even like you got to really get in your crack, because it can be like a felt tip pen down there, like you wipe and you think you've got it all, and there's a big brown streak on the toilet paper, and then you go down again and you've got another brown streak and another one. You've got to sort of gouge it out and get the nib of the shit around your asshole. Now, that's level one. Now, I'm hoping your problem is there. The problem can go further. So, if you do wipe properly and you get all the crap out of your butthole, it might be that your butthole is actually a bit leaky. you've got a leaky butthole. So that's where liquidy substance comes out your butthole, and it's like, it's got bits of shit in it, and it stinks. And like, if you lie down on the couch, it'll run down the back of your bum and go towards your back, and that makes it, that exposes the smell to people. And so if this is your problem, it means you've got a leaky butthole. And what you want to do is you want to thicken up the mix. So you want to make sure that there's no liquid coming out of your anus, your butthole. And you want to do that by a spoonful of flour in the morning. So you spoonful of flour, and then that'll thicken it up, and it'll make little biscuits. Like little, they're not edible, they're not like edible biscuits, but it'll make little biscuits where it'll sop up all that juice. And it'll turn it into a biscuit. And you can poop out that biscuit, and then you can wipe it clean. Also, eat lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, so you can snap them off clean. That makes it easier to clean your butthole. But yeah, if you've got that leaky problem, definitely you need go plain flour, a tablespoon of plain flour in the morning. If you go self-raising flour, the problem is your poos might be a bit large and you might do yourself injury. So definitely go to plain flour. Okay, thank you, Ryan.